Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. The Lord our God is good, and His mercy endures forever. Brother Horton would say His chesed, which is the Hebrew meaning of that word, endures forever, which includes all things wonderful. God loves us. And if you want to know who Brother Horton is, you got to go to the Fresh Start Fresh Start Breakfast Club section on the audio 2, 3, and 4 pages. He used to do Sunday school classes, and he's a blessing. So he was very instrumental in how in me forming this website and the heart-to-heart section that I'm doing. And there's a link called Classic on the Audio 2 page. And that was Brother Horton. He taught something, and the Lord gave me a visual of what he expected that day, and it was very instrumental in me doing this, so I thank God for him. Now, as we go forward, sometimes the Lord will use people to show you, to help you, to proceed. I'm no different. God has used so many wonderful people to help me get to a stage where I could do something for him. Now, if you're going to do something for God, you got to believe in what you're doing. You can't build a business with doubt in your heart. If you believe that it's going to fail, no matter how, no matter what you have to work with, no matter what your resources are, if you believe it's going to fail, you will cause it to fail. You have to believe God only. One thing the church needs right now is the ability. You know, people are willing to receive the word of God and hear the word of God. Then they face the challenges. But actually, you can get rid of all the challenges, all of them. If you receive what God is saying and reject every word that proceeds out of Satan's mouth, which he uses the world to do his bidding. You know, man don't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And so the opposite is true. That means that we reject everything that Satan's talking about. Everything that comes from him. Everything that is sourced from Satan. All the way the world system, the persuasions of people, the doubts of mankind, personal doubts and fears. When you drive all that junk out of your life, now you're free to grow. And you can grow rapidly without attachment. Attachments like pride. Every time the Lord teach me something, he teach me in a way where I don't get in pride. I can't, you know, I feel humble after the lesson is over. When he tell me something, it's like I'm bombarded with his love. And what he opened my eyes to, he did it in the God kind of love towards me, and I received it in the God kind of love towards him. And the goal of God's word is to build people up, not tear people down. When God used to give me a message, I was energized by the word of God. I could feel the power of the word in my chest. And I wanted to minister that word so I could tell that if people hear this, they'll be able to proceed in life better. And that's what I was after. Now, most of the time I had to, he didn't give me a message right before I preached. He gave it to me 2 or 3 weeks prior, sometimes 4 weeks prior. And I walked around with that message, and it caused me to learn other things because my attention was on the message. And it gave me the time I needed to learn more about it. But I could feel that word in my heart. But by the time it's time to preach it, things would happen systematically that it spent the word in my heart. And by the time it was time for me to preach, I needed an outline. And I had my scriptures, and it's like I had my Bible cocked with scriptures. I had it all my pages marked where I was going to turn to and keep the flow going. But I had to have that outline. Without the outline, I wouldn't have been able to minister that message the same way. Now, and I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, why is it when you give me a message, I feel the power of it? I feel like a kid at Christmas time. And then when I preach the word, I need the outline to do it. He said, the enemy's been siphoning the word out of your heart. And he used the word siphoning. Me being a mechanic, I know what siphoning is. You can siphon in the old cars. You can't do it with new ones. But the old cars, you could siphon gas out. You could suck on a pipe. Once the gas get to the top, you have to move your mouth out of the way, and it'll come down, and you can fill up a bucket because the bucket is lower than the tank. And the fuel, if there's no air in those lines, it will siphon it out. Well, it takes a while to siphon gas. It takes a while to siphon the word. And he would use aggravating situations and temptations, anything he could find to siphon the word out of your heart. So, when I started to study what God gave me as a way of life. Every day I studied the same things, and I was able to keep that charge. Now, the reason I brought that up, when you're charged with the word, you have it's like power in your chest. It's like it's a charge. It's a charge of goodness, a charge of life. Every message, and it wanted to do good, and it got into my will. I wanted to be there because I couldn't rest the same until I preached that word. And once I preached the word, then I felt relieved. Now, but before I preached the word, I was excited about preaching the word. It was like fire shut up in my bone. That word had a will of its own, and I had a will to do the things of God. And it was a joy. It was like a joy drive. It wasn't a push. The drive came from the love of God. I wanted to get in on this. I was excited about it. But once I delivered the word, then I was relieved. and it's a good thing. I love it. I love ministering God's word. So when you believe in what you're doing, it's going to work. And I didn't know what to do, so I followed God. And that took all the pressure off my life. Now, as we go forward, other people did the same thing. See, when people are under the anointing, if you're anointed, it works the same way. If you're in agreement with God, your anointing is on. The anointing has a jurisdiction where if God say go and tell this person this or that, that's where your anointing is going to work. You have to go to that person. If you got to preach at a certain place, that's where you got to be for the anointing to do its job. So being on time is very important. That and your anointing is on and it's prepared to function. And then when people want the word and they're hungry, they activate it too. It's activated from within, you know, your willingness, and then their willingness to receive. It could be a stranger. If they hear words coming from you and they want it, God will cause you to he'll pour into their life. He will cause you to charge their life because they want it. The anointing is for people. It's to help people. And when people are in agreement, it goes through time. Like I'm doing this broadcast today, 100 years from now, if somebody find one of these recordings, I'll be long gone. But they get one of these recordings, God knew that they would pull from that anointing and it will minister to them, to their specific need. Because God can see through time. And the anointing is designed to do his. Remember, the definition of the anointing from God to me, he said, I said, Lord, what's your definition of the anointing? You can look it up in Hebrew and Greek and Webster dictionaries, but if you when I asked the Lord, he said, the anointing is a sanction that gives a man or woman God's ability to perform and finish a specific task. So if you got God's ability, your words are timeless. If they're living words. Our bodies will die, but the anointing don't. Our anointing is of God, and it's alive, and God uses it to help people know him and to break yokes and to do whatever needs to be done, healings. People do recordings on TV, and sometimes they have a word of knowledge, and they say, stretch out your hand as a point of contact and receive. And people get healed on a recording. It's not even live anymore. It's a rerun and people still get healed. All this is true. The anointing is alive. And people who love God and draw near to him, God draw near to them. So don't be so surprised when you see the wonderful miracles that do exist. God loves us. Everything of God is by love. So when we follow him and not try to get God to follow our schemes and our good ideas, if we follow him, there's no pressure. If we try to get God to follow our plans, you're going to have holes in your, that is our plans compared to God's is not that well thought out. Even our best intentions, because we don't know everything. God know everybody that he's designed you to, Pastor Jackson used to say, there are people, how did he word it? Assigned to your life. So there are people that you're assigned to be a blessing to. They'll hear you when they won't hear their own brother or sister. They'll hear you when they sometimes won't even hear their own parents. There are so many Christian parents. The children won't listen to them like they'll listen to a friend or somebody else. And then there are pastors that preach their heart out. They teach, they preach, they do it right. They tell the people every week. But then here comes another guest minister and he say the same thing. And now their eyes are open. Now, we're in a spiritual war. There are reasons that this happens. But it's a blessing that we have each other to help us out. Now, sometimes I ask the Lord about curious questions like that. Why is it that a man, a prophet, is not without honor except in his own hometown and around his own family? The enemy, being the enemy, I'm going to ask the Lord that to see what he say. But if you think about it from an enemy standpoint, knowing that the word is sown in peace, which it is, the enemy is, he'll use petty disagreements, petty jealousy, Cain jealousy, sibling rivalry to quell what God. Some people, they hold you back to a specific stage of your life. They saw you grow up. They know you as a child. They don't expect you. They see you a certain way. But when people are growing in the Lord, and when people are growing in their careers, they're not the same person that they started out. Sometimes people are, parents, they're used to their children. They're in parent mode, parental mode, and they're used to telling their children to pick up behind themselves, eat at a certain time, sleep at a certain time, do this, do that. And those things get in your heart. Well, when a person is grown, they think for themselves. They have their own, they develop their own routine and they get it. And sometimes they are much more organized than when they were in the house with you. And sometimes they're not as organized. But nevertheless, they have abilities in something, unless they got on drugs or something. But if they're taking care of themselves, they finish school, they got a job, they're a boss, they're somebody's boss now, they have abilities that you don't see because they grew, they changed based on what you taught them in the first place if you're their parent. And then if you were the older sibling, you know, you had to, you know, they were sneaky at one time, and mama tell them to do something, they sneak and do something. You know all about it because you did these things together. But eventually people mature and grow up. Now, when people are growing in the Lord, they change on the inside, but you can't always tell on the outside. When people are growing, they're going to church and they're listening. The pastor's preaching to everybody. Some of the people are receiving. Some of them are students of the Word. Some of them are students of the Lord. See, there are two different kinds of students. If you got a person that's a student of the Word and a student of the Lord, that person's going to grow in greater ways. Some people are only students of the Word. They'll study the Word, but they don't really pray. You know, they don't really go in God's presence and learn from Him. They're only learning from what they're hearing. And sometimes people are students of the ministry. They listen to the pastor. They receive it. They have greater abilities, but they don't really study the Word, and they don't really pray much. So, but growing is growing, however you do it. And it's all useful to God. People that are growing, most people are probably students of the ministry. Then as a smaller percentage, that will be, you know, in many cases, maybe hopefully not most cases, but in many cases, they're students of the ministry and students of the Word. Then you got a small, much smaller group of students of the ministry, students of the Word, and students of God. Now, because most people in many cases, hopefully not most, I like to think positive, and I like to think big, but based on what I've seen, it looks like most people are students of the ministry, and hopefully they are. And so people being people will think that you're doing what they're doing. But when you're a student of the ministry and a student of the Word and a student of God, you're learning exponentially compared to people who are just students of the ministry. You're growing in greater ways. You're able to receive and understand greater concepts. Now, we receive the Word from, you know, knowledge comes through the process of knowledge comes at different times. The introduction to the Word, that's usually the initial beginning of our learning phase. And then, if you're faithful, as we're faithful with that, also you get knowledge from the Spirit. The Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth. Now, when you embrace it, receive it, you embrace it, you won't let it go, you believe it, and then when you act on it, it becomes faith in your life. And that will cause, because you took God at His Word and you acted on it, now you're in a category to learn even greater things from the same initial teaching. You're going to learn many things from that one teaching. That's why I say God always exceeds my expectation. When I'm faithful with what He said, just one thing He said, as I practice it in life, I see a healing process advancing my life in many areas of life. But on the outside, I look no different. But on the inside, I'm growing up. Every time you study the Word and receive it in your heart, you are growing. Every time you hear the Word of God from the men and women of God, you are growing. Every time you go in prayer and the Lord is able to counsel you and teach you and show you things, you are growing. And people, if they're not doing it, they don't know what you're doing, they can't. You know, they can't judge you as you are. They're looking. See, the thing is, growth is undetectable. That's the people can't tell that you're growing unless you do a speech, do something that's off the charts wise, or something, you know, do something great that people can notice. But see, parents don't go to work with you, and you solve problems, and people appreciate it. You have wise counsel among the people. And this is how you know that that's happening. If you ever go to their job or school or wherever they're working, and people are so excited to meet the parents, and they say, you did an awesome job, that's because your children they were there for the people. They were a blessing. They gave wise counsel. They solved great problems. And you know, to them, you know, to a person that's not growing, or you haven't been around a person in their element. You haven't been around them in their element, you know. And you never seen what they are capable of, because in the setting you used to, they didn't do those things yet. But after an education, and also as we grow in the Lord, our capabilities, they exponentially increase. And sometimes it's not as obvious to the person. You're just trying to live, and you've been in God's presence, you've been around the Lord, you spend time with Him. You're a student of the ministry, you're a student of the Word, you're a student of God. You go in God's presence and worship Him, and you listen to Him. You have a relationship with Him. Well, guess what? You've been growing exponentially for years. Now, so when people, you became anointable and God anointed you to do something, and sometimes the anointing can rest on a person and they don't realize it. You've been receiving from the anointing for so long, it's there. And when you're around somebody that's receptive, then they pull on that. And you're blessing people and don't even realize it. You may not even be called to the ministry. We're all ministers of reconciliation. The main difference between anybody that has an office and they're anointed, and a person that have not been called to an office, the only difference is God didn't set you apart for something. But you still have the very same capabilities of Peter, Paul, and John. Now, this is why. When an apostle is teaching, whoever hears him can do what he's doing. Whatever message that they receive, they can relay that message. And people, you know, the world wouldn't expect it, because the world, they're geared up by the enemy. They're always looking up. They don't look at every resource. They only look to the precipice, who's in charge. And that's all they expect. And see, worldly thinking has gotten into the church. Some people think the pastor's the only one that can help you, because that's the one that they listen to. They don't spend enough time around you to know what you're doing and saying. And this is true for everybody. If you show me anybody that go to church on their own, they are students. Now, it's one thing when children go to church with their parents, but you show me a 18, 19, 20-year-old that get in their own car and buy their own gas and they go to church and they're faithful, they are students. They know something. The devil's afraid of them. And I know that God can do great things in their life. But you show me the ones that stay at home, they don't care, they just, you know, they'd rather be somewhere else anyway. I'm not talking about them, but I'm talking about the ones that every Sunday, when the church is open, they are there. They buy their own gas. Sometimes their parents don't come. These are students of the ministry, and possibly students of the Word. And the ones that have a prayer life, they're students of God. But they don't, you never hear a message out of them. They sit right beside you. They walk in love. They stay out of trouble. Their lives do excel because they finish school. They go. They join the military. They do whatever they do. And whatever they do it well. And if they ever stand up and speak, you'll be surprised at what they're capable of doing. It'll surprise everybody because nobody heard them speak. They didn't see them in their element. When we spend time with the Lord, we become capable. The anointing gives us God's ability to do something. Not everything, but something that pertains to our sanction. So, this is why, see, the Lord thinks of everything. The thoroughbreds are out there. I don't know much about horses, but I know this. When you got a thoroughbred, that's the most outstanding horse of the bunch. That's the one that's going to, that's the one you want to take the battle with you. That's the race winner. And some people are hungry for God, and they're students of the ministry. They're not in pride. They listen to others. And I, you know, watching as a minister and noticing people and spending time with the Lord, I have heard the most outstanding remarks from people of every age. Children, young adults, adolescents, people that were students of the ministry, students of the word, and students of God. And students of the ministry will do. They can say some, you know, sometimes people get it. Students of the ministry are powerful because they learn what not to do. They learn what to do and simultaneously what not to do at a very early age, and they have no appetite for the worldly influences. Even if they're not students of the word like they should be, or students of God, if they humble themselves to what they know, they can operate in faith. They're the kind of people that can start a business and believe that it will go forward because doubt is not in their heart. Their corruption will come from curiosity. All they have to do is don't do what other people are doing when it's wrong. And they'll do pretty good. But to master life, you got to be a student of ministry and a good, very good student of the word. And to really master life, you got to be a student of God. Now, that's when following God comes in. The ability to do what God say without argument. The ability to do what God says with enthusiasm. The ability to receive what God is saying personally to you, and you yield your whole life to Him. That's following God and following through with His plan, not yours. You can present a good idea to the Lord, but go with the one that He sanctions, and don't go with the permissive will, please. Too many people do that. You can never know what will happen if you go with God's perfect will unless you do it. And the only other way you can know it is if God show it to you. But you probably wouldn't want Him to, because you'll have the comparison. Many more millions of people would have lived and not died and been blessed in greater ways than if you went with your permissive will. You probably don't want to know what will happen if you stick with the permissive will like 99% of the people do. I don't really know the percentage, but I know it's hard to find somebody that will follow everything that God say and follow the peace. Now, speed and timing. You want to be, sometimes a visitation, you may not get another one of the same kind. Sometimes you have one chance in your life to receive a visitation. Don't argue with me. I know what I'm talking about. If you miss a visitation that only comes once, that's a costly mistake. Rebekah made the choice to go and marry Isaac. She had one chance. The man was not going to come back. She could go or she could stay. And it got down to the damsel. Now, they said that she could go, and she would have went based on what her dad said. Then, you know, I believe God let that argument come up. Well, let her stay 10 days. It had to get down to her choice. And they said, let the damsel decide. And she said, I will go. This is something you have to prepare for. Because when God tells you to do something, it challenges you from the core up, from your spirit man up. And if you don't meet it with faith, you may not get that opportunity again. But God is merciful. The good thing is he gives us a season to receive or reject, but not always. Sometimes there are moments when this is a make or break moment. What I do, I like fail safes. I don't trust Thurston to follow, even though he gave me years of training in following God. I trust God, and I learn to do things in his strength. So I say I will do all that's in his heart so that I can get rid of the whatever's in my blind spot and interference. I will do all that's in his heart. And everything that's like Satan's got to go. That kills my blind spot. I don't want blinds. I don't want anything to hold me back in my blind spot. And I want to do all that's in my heart, all that's in God's heart only. Because if you believe in what you're doing, you will finish. Now, well, I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. He'll continue to mightily move in and throughout your life. Till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you. Jesus Christ is